It's really because at the end, say you have everyone that has 5,000 plus. Great. Now you have a list size of, say, 5,000 people of your own on your email list. Awesome. Now, how many of them are going to be following you after that? Because they're not really your ideal audience. They're just numbers because you wanted numbers at the end of the game. And then, so you're probably going to lose probably 30% by the end of the summit for whatever, you know, like people end up leaving. And then you're stuck with, say, 2,000 people who really, really aren't your ideal audience. Now, let's take it where you're actually looking for people who have your ideal audience. Say they only have a 2,000 list size, but they have a 30 or 40% open rate and a great click-through rate, and their audience is really excited about your summit. So at the end of the summit, you've got maybe only 1,500 or 2,000 people who love you. You're going to lose a certain percentage. But then after that, you have a warm audience that is interested in you and what you have to sell. To me, that is worth way more than having a lot of numbers with people who aren't interested in what you're doing.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust also that you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Gigi Rosenberg, public speaking coach, and Steve August, founders coach. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Robin Bennett, the technology queen. Robin is a certified content marketing specialist. She's a digital marketer and a tech-savvy virtual assistant who loves to help entrepreneurs grow their business online and by helping them implement the right systems and marketing strategies in their business, grow the overall business. She helps clients build their email lists and their sales funnels. She helps them create systems and launch their telesummits and programs and much more, as we'll hear in the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. innovabiz.co/VIP. So go there and check it out. As I said, it's free to join, but the information there you will find exceptionally useful. If you're already a member, just log in and you'll see your resources that you can access there. In our discussion today, Robin talked to me about the moving parts of a valuable telesummit and how that can really contribute to growing your list and your potential clients. We talked about how knowing your ideal client will allow you to reach the right audience. And we talked about using webinars and the importance of follow-up and growing the relationship established in your summit. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Robin Bennett. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Fabreville in Quebec, Canada, Robin Bennett, who's a certified content marketing specialist, a digital marketer, and a tech-savvy virtual assistant. Welcome to the podcast, Robin. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Jamie Greenberg, who was our guest on episode 117 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested we interview you and introduced us. So a big hello to Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, thank you.
Now, Robin, you work with entrepreneurs to grow their online business by helping them implement the right systems, the right marketing strategies, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about what you do and geeking out on marketing and systems because that's my thing as well. But before we start talking about all things marketing and systems, give us a bit of a high-level snapshot of your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
Well, you know, I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet, but some of the parts that are very, you know, I come from a family where both my mother and my stepfather worked for our local cable company, and which meant that we always got, like, you know, the internet free, cable free, phone free. And I also come from a background where I had a lot of people in my life that were always trying to help me, you know, like to help me grow and be very, you know, that were very supportive. So there was when I think I was about 22, 23 years old, I was working for a business that was closing their doors. And I was really heartbroken because I had already been there for 5 years and I had to do my resume. And at the time, I could type like 100 words per minute on a regular manual typewriter. That was like, you know, that's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
And my boss at the time told me, hey, Robin, why don't you try typing your resume on a computer? And I thought, a computer? Oh, my goodness. And I did. And it was literally love at first sight. I sat down. I actually put my resume on Lotus 123, which is equivalent today to, you know, Excel. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
I could have maybe done it on WordPerfect, which is today's equivalent to Word, but no, we did it on Lotus 123. And then just to show you, like, that's when I really fell in love with technology. And then I got home one day and there was this like box, and my parents didn't say anything to us. It was just there. And I sat down in front of this box, dialed, did a few things, you know. Next thing you know, I hear, and I'm like, what the heck? And I look and there's the screen and there's like all this stuff. And I started typing and asking questions. And that was my first experience with the internet. And I thought, this is super. I think I was using Yahoo at the time. I thought, this is really, really super. And that was like the whole technology love affair. But it was only when in 2013, and you have to understand that I have worked online between 2005 and 2013, doing different things, but it was only when I joined a coaching program in 2013 that brought me to where I am today. Like, that was like the biggest change ever, because it wasn't just me trying to sell on eBay or create video montages. This was like really running a business online.
Coaching program you mentioned, was that the Ryan Dice program?
No, actually it was with Shanda Sumter. At the time she was doing Sapphire, now it's called Pace Club. And the first thing that they had us do was create a telesummit. And I didn't even know what a telesummit was. I was like, what the heck? An interview people? Are you crazy? Like, you know, and that really was the beginning to, you know, this beautiful business that I've built. It was like the stepping stone.
Okay. All right, well, give us a snapshot then of what you do today and why you do it.
Well, what I do today is, like I was saying earlier, like the first thing I ever did really in 2013 was a telesummit. Like, that was the first thing. And then I ended up doing, you know, I was so good at it that I started doing some for other people, and I ended up with 40. And then someone said, oh, this girl's done 40 telesummits, and someone, you know, and I kept getting referrals, and I was up to 100, then 150, 200, 250 telesummits. So what I had learned through that and what I'm doing now is that I help people put together their telesummits, because a lot of people, it's very overwhelming. It's not like something that you can, you know, easily put together when you're interviewing multiple experts for an event. But what I really learned through the telesummit process was that when people were done with their telesummit, that's when they got stuck. They built this beautiful list. They built a great audience, but they didn't know what to do with them anymore. It was like coaching stopped or people got scared or something. And what I do is I help them launch their telesummit and then continue the process of not only building the list, but nurturing the list, taking care of the list, and how to make money from the list.
Hmm. So you mentioned telesummits quite a few times, and I think I know what it is, but and you mentioned that when you first started, you said, what the heck is that? So maybe you could explain to the listener what it is exactly. And,
sure.
And then why would a business actually do that? Well, that'll be the follow-on question.
Okay. Well, a telesummit or a video telesummit or an audio telesummit is an interview series where typically people interview anywhere between 10 to, in one case, 60 experts. The average is usually 21. That's usually the formula, but it's changed throughout the years because people try to, make it more fun, more creative, more, innovative. It's just, so that's something that's sort of changed through the years, but that's basically the principle is to invite some people and interview them in a mass, like 21 people. And then it's all for a certain theme. So if you're a health coach, you're going to invite the 20 other health professionals who will then invite their list to your event, and it helps someone build their email list. So that's sort of like the Reader's Digest version of what a telesummit is. And the reason why someone would do that is, one, to either build their list, or two, to continue to grow their list. I have some clients who've done 14 telesummits. They end up with huge email list sizes, nurturing it. It's not only just about the number, but it's also about the quality, which is another thing that I help people understand that, it's really great if you have, someone who has, let's use like Oprah. Oprah has like a million followers. You invite her to your summit, but your summit is on tech. It's not really going to be your ideal audience that you're having on your telesummit. So it's also trying to find the right speakers, the right quality for what you want. And that's basically why. And what happens is that people have built their email list from the summit, and then they're tired or they're scared, or now they have to sort of step in to a role that they're not really familiar with. Like they already interviewing people is a big deal. And now they have like a bunch of people are waiting for them to write them, weekly or something. So I help them get through that with a plan. And again, what are their next steps? Typically, webinars, three-part video series, and how to engage with their audience. So that's always quality, not just, what can I get, but what can I share with you?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of really good things in there. So just stepping back though, the telesummit is like a virtual event, right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
So, because I'm thinking, I could do a telesummit because I know how to interview people. I've got well over 100 interviews, nearly 200 interviews, and but that's done over a really long period of time, of course, a couple of 3 or 4 years. So it's something that is in a very tight time frame.
Yeah, it's typically, and again, there's so many different models and stuff like that, but just to give you what the general model is we'll interview 21 people within a 2 to 3 week time frame. We release an interview a day. Each expert offers a gift. And, at the end of the telesummit, each expert also builds their list because they're being shared with everyone else's list. So they get to build their list. The hostess or the host gets to build their list. And you're also considered, sort of like an expert within your field because you're interviewing other experts within your field.
Yeah. All right. That's a really neat model. And it, I was interested to hear that, it's sort of several years ago that you started putting together telesummits and you've done so many, because I think it's taken off fairly recently, probably the last couple of years. I know I've been on a couple last year, and I thought, oh, this is a neat idea. And I hadn't really joined the dots before that.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe it was Milana Leshinsky who had done the first telesummit online, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it's a great model. And some people say to me today, oh, the telesummits are so, you know, like no one does them anymore. Well, the Food Revolution Network still does them. Hay House still does them. There's a lot of big names that still do them. So I don't really think that's true that they're, you know, passé, because people still are doing them and they're still quality.
I seem to be getting more and more invites to telesummits and from different people in my network, and this person started a telesummit. That's really interesting. And so it's an approach, I think, that is gaining traction, at least in the circles that I move in.
Yeah, me too.
That's me good too. For you, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So there's obviously a lot of moving pieces to putting together a telesummit. So just at a very high level, what are some of the key things that people need to have in place for a telesummit? And I guess, why would they need help with that? Because obviously it is something that does involve a lot of work in a short space of time.
Yeah. Well, most of them take about 3 months to put together. And I've been called in to put together a telesummit in less than a month. There's so many different moving pieces. And the reason what happens, a lot of people don't want to hire because they think that they can do it, which they can obviously do it. But then people come to me after and say, oh, I wish I would have hired you. I'm never going to do that again because of all the work that's involved. And the way that we do it in my business is that you have different phases. So you have the pre-phase, which is, you know, making sure that you have qualified experts. So you have to do some research. You have to pre-interview experts to make sure that they're a good fit. You don't just want anyone. And it's got to be a mutual agreement between you and the speaker to see that it's a great fit and stuff like that. So like what I do is I usually find anywhere between 100 and 150 potential experts in someone's niche, because you really want a targeted right audience. It's, again, it's not really so much the list size, it's the quality of their audience. It used to be where people had to have 5,000 list size to be on someone's telesummit. But I think that's changed a lot, because I think people really see the value in having quality experts as opposed to just having a number, you know, that someone can bring to you type of thing. So I do a lot of research. We do what we call sort of herding cats, which is making sure that all the experts have all the information that they need, that they're mailing, that they're supporting the event, that all the pages are built. Like, it's just sort of like a whole management on the back end, because you have opt-in pages, thank you page. If you're selling, you have to do the affiliate program set up. You have to make sure all the speaker pages are set up, the interviews done. You know, is there any intro, outro? Do I have to edit some of the interviews because they're a phone rang or something like that? So there's all these like different pieces that go on in the background. And then you have to sort of make sure that all the content is written, the daily emails, the solo emails, so that people can promote the event. So that's why I usually say it takes about 3 months, because there is just so many different, there's so many different pieces. And when you work with us, is what we do is that we literally have you like, okay, we're at stage one, stage two, stage three, and, you know, hence the 3 months. And it's a lot easier for people. I even have some people who take 6 months to do them because they really want to be sure. Like, no one wants to feel rushed, because you can be really tired at the end of a telesummit. Like, it's just really exhausting, even with support.
That's right. Yeah. And you, Well, you mentioned a lot of the logistical stuff that happens in the background, but the person running the summit or the people running the summit are going to be doing the interviews and will need to be prepared for the interviews. So doing some background research on their guests. And if you've got 21 of those to do within 2 weeks, that is going to be very exhausting. So getting help on all the background stuff is probably a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, and also, like, we prepare, some people will give us the questions that they want, you know, us to ask them, but a lot of people like to have organic conversations, so then it's like doing research, so at least we call it the hot sheet, so at least my client, when he or she is getting ready to interview someone, they have a hot sheet, so we already have, like, a whole bunch of information on the guest, so that they're not going, you know what I mean? Like trying to think of what to say. They already have some questions and stuff like that. We've already done our research.
Mm. Now, one of the things you mentioned you emphasized it quite a few times is the quality of the list and the quality of the guests then, and the quality of the topic, I guess, is part of that more critical than the raw numbers, list size and so on. And you did touch on this earlier, and I just wanted to explore that a little bit more because it's one of my favorite bugbears is the ideal audience, to really understand who it is you're talking to, and that would, I guess, inform the topics that you focus on and the type of guest you actually get on. So talk to us a little bit about ideal audience.
Well, what happens is that I can remember a client that was doing their first summit, and they would only take speakers that had a list size of 5,000 or more. And that was like, okay, I'm going to have this one. And oh no, she can't come on because she has 4,000 list size. And I'd say, well, what is her open rate? What is her click-through rate? What is her, you know, what is her audience? Like, this person here is perfect. I can't believe you're going to say no for 1,000 people. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. And I remember once again talking to another expert, and they were saying, like, you know, people keep thinking that it's all about the list size. And I kept being proven that it's not the list size. It's really because at the end, say you have everyone that has 5,000 plus. Great. Now you have a list size of, say, 5,000 people of your own on your email list. Awesome. Now, how many of them are going to be following you after that? Because they're not really your ideal audience. They're just numbers, because you wanted numbers at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And then, so you're probably going to lose probably 30% by the end of the summit for whatever, you know, like, people end up leaving. And then you're stuck with, say, 2,000 people who really, really aren't your ideal audience. Now, let's take it where you're actually looking for people who have your ideal audience. Say they only have a 2,000 list size, but they have a 30 or 40% open rate and a great click-through rate, and their audience is really excited about your summit. So at the end of the summit, you've got maybe only 1,500 or 2,000 people who love you. You're going to lose a certain percentage. But then after that, you have a warm audience that is interested in you and what you have to sell. To me, that is worth way more than having a lot of numbers with people who aren't interested in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that starts with the beginning. It has to start with the very beginning when you're searching for your experts.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really good advice. So you need to be really clear about who your ideal client is and who your ideal audience is. Yeah. And the other thing you suggested there, I mean, even if you only look at numbers, list size is probably meaningless, because engagement, how big is the engaged list, might be the more relevant question for just considering the numbers. So if the person with 4,000 had 3,000 of those were engaged actively, they were clicking through, they were reading newsletters, they were following through
to the links in all the emails, whereas the other person had a 20% of the 5,000, so only 1,000. So then the person with their 4,000 list is probably going to be a lot more valuable.
Totally. That's exactly it. And that's like when you're planning out your summit, that's why it's so important to know who your audience is.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, you're paying probably for a coach. You're going to be paying for a lot of things for the summit, and you're paying for me. So at the end result, you want to be sure that the audience that you're getting for this is a converting audience.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot of good advice in there. now you talked about the follow-up part. So if somebody's run the tele summit and they've had all these experts on, they've grown their list, they've provided all this valuable input to their audience plus to the audience of the each of the guests, and they've grown their list. So I guess for me there's a couple of follow-up aspects to it. So the first follow-up aspect, the obvious one, is what do I do with that list once I've built that? But the second one that I'd like to explore with you as well is I've just had all these experts on my summit, and they might be people I know, but they probably are a lot of them new contacts for me. So how do I follow up with them, and what can I do to grow that relationship?
That's great. That is great. Let's actually, if you don't mind, I'll answer that question first.
Okay.
One of the things that I used to do for clients was I used to do the pre-interview with the experts. So if someone was interested in participating as an expert, I would meet them for the client and answer their questions. And I had found that I was actually hurting the client in the long run, because this was an opportunity for them to build a relationship with this potential expert and to see, you know, if they could work together in the future. And sometimes you have a great dynamic with someone, like they're missing out on all this information, all this opportunity, because I'm doing the pre. And it's because a lot of people didn't want to do the pre-interview. They just simply didn't want to do it because it's timing. You know, if you can get on the phone with 50 people for 15 minutes, that's a lot of time.
That's right.
So what we tried to do was, explain to the client the importance of it. And believe it or not, when someone's a newcomer is more likely to take that. But I noticed too that there's a lot of people who have done multiple summits who are happy now to talk with the potential experts. It's like they see the value in building that relationship, like, you know, relationship building. It's all part of the whole, you know, audience building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I stopped doing that because, like I said, I felt like I was really sort of hurting the client's results. And then when they're on the pre-interview with someone, that's usually when they start making that new relationship with an expert. And then they're invited on their summit or joint, you know, a webinar that they can do together, a joint webinar, or as an affiliate. It just ends up being and turning into something bigger for them.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on, because I know a lot of shy people, present company included, who, you know, have to sort of force themselves to, you know, reach out to said experts or whatever. But it happens. When I did my last summit, I did one last spring. And just through one expert hired me. And as a result, that expert dropped my name in a Facebook group, and I ended up with 6 new clients in less than a month. And that expert, by the way, did not have 5,000 list size. They had a small list size, and I ended up making thousands of dollars off of that decision and a great client and a great relationship. So you never know what's going to happen when you're connecting with people, because when they believe in you and when you show them what you can do, they're more likely to tell other people about you.
Yeah.
So it's just such such a great opportunity. So, you know, connect with your experts. I don't think you're ever that busy. You shouldn't be that busy that you can't connect. Well, people are going to take time to be interviewed, you know, by you and stuff like that. Like, these people are going to promote your event, take the time that you need to get to know them for those 15 minutes or so. Sometimes a pre-interview lasts longer because you're having such a blast with them.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I did one recently with a podcast guest that we're going to have on for episode 200, actually. And that came out of the conversation, and it ended up being an hour and a half conversation. So it's that pre-conversation is probably longer than what the podcast interview will be. But we had so much fun, yeah.
So that's what I would say to that. It's just really importance of connecting with the fellow experts. And now it's something that when you work with me, it's a have to type of thing. Like, if you don't want to do that, then we're definitely not a good fit, because I believe in relationship building.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I mean, I'm an introvert as well, so I have to summon up all my energy to get on and talk to strange people, but I do it because I see the value in it. But the funny thing is that people go to all these networking events, and I reflect back sometimes. I've gone to this networking event and I think that was a total waste of time, because it was just a really, really just a chance for a certain clique to get together, and it was really hard to get to know people because you felt as though you're imposing on them. And also a lot of people were there just there for the food and drink. And so there's a lot of these events that you go to for networking and growing relationships with new people, that everybody does them, and yet people feel reluctant to do this kind of networking, which is quality networking. It's not, you know, it doesn't have that kind of risk that it might just be a total waste of time.
Yeah, and normally we meet people on Zoom, so there's still that face-to-face connection, you know, in the beginning type of thing. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of value to that, a lot. It can make the difference. I'm going to just share one little thing about that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One of the things is that sometimes you'll invite what they call anchors. So it's like, let's use Oprah again as an example. I'm going to invite Oprah to my summit, but Oprah's not going to mail. And she's not going to mail to her list promoting the event. But the fact that I have Oprah is going to be, you know, pretty,
that's a,
you know, it's going to draw a lot of people. Yeah. So, and I mean, I realize I'm using like one of the biggest anchors in the world, but I love to use Oprah as an example. But at the same time, Oprah and I may have such a blast together that she's going to say, you know what, Robin, I'm going to mail for you. So for me to say, no, Oprah, you can't come on because you're not going to mail for me, is, you know, like, she's a draw on her own. And there's like a lot of internet marketers and a lot of health coaches and all that that are draws, that are anchors. But when they connect with you, I've seen it. I've seen people say, no, I'm not going to mail, and then like you so much that they end up mailing. And it makes a big difference. Someone that was not mailing for me ended up being my biggest promoter in my last summit. It was amazing. She mailed three times for me, and she was not mailing once when I had said yes. So you never know when you connect.
That's a really important point as well.
Yeah.
All right. So coming back to the subscribers then, the subscribers to the event, what are the things you need to be doing to follow up with them now that you've done all this work to build a list?
Yeah. What's happened in the past is I've had people go on vacation. So that's when I decided, hold on, something's wrong here, because I was like, oh, I'm tired, Robin. Like, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to write my list, my new brand spanking warm list, in 3 weeks from now. And then I swear I'll write to them every week. So what I've done is I've created where once they're done, we work out a plan. Like, not everyone's plan is the same. Some people will love webinars and they'll just hop into doing webinars. Other people don't want to do webinars. They just want to do video series. Other people, you know, it's just like let's find another way. Like just finding what the right fit is for the right client and where they're resisting that change, because now you've got what you wanted, what you've worked so hard for. So there's some self-sabotaging, there's some. So then it's like, how do you nurture it? One of the things, even if you tell me like, I'm not ready for the webinar, I'm not just, okay, that's cool. Write them. Like, and of course there's also other protocol, like you survey them, you know, you find out what your list, your new list is looking for. There's certain questions that you ask the list depending on the niche and all that. But at the very least, write to your list, get to know your list. I don't like to say train your list, but train them to know that you're going to write to them on a regular basis, offer them things. If you're always going to write and you're never going to offer, you're never going to sell. If you sell once because you send one email every 6 months with an offer, and I don't know why they didn't buy from me. Well, you know, it's like, it's just really letting the list know what they can expect from you moving forward. I love webinars. I absolutely love webinars. I have clients who close, 50% through their webinars. They fill out their group coaching programs that way. You know, we have a really great formula for that. So it's like, take your Sella Summit, take this audience, and what's next for you? What are you scared of? What do you need to do? Let's do this. I literally sound like, I've got your back. We're good. Let's just do this.
Okay. And do you help people setting up their webinars as well?
Yes.
Because I imagine it's kind of like a one-time event that is a mini tele-summit.
It is in certain ways. And when it's really, really good, when you really found your perfect formula, you can automate it. I remember once reading from Russell Brunson. I think it was Russell Brunson who said this, like to create a different webinar every week or every month or something like that is like putting on a brand new Broadway show every week. It's really not necessary. It just perfect what you have. And then once it's ready, then you can automate it. And we run ads to those, you know, and it works really well.
Yeah. So automated webinars, so that's basically running recordings at times that suit the participant.
Yeah, exactly. And it does really well. I have one client who we did an automated webinar that to me was a bit like, she did such a great webinar. And the way it looks and everything is so nice. And she's actually converting to her application 75%. I mean, that's just, that's amazing.
That is.
So now it's just, you know, now our whole goal is getting the traffic to that automated webinar because she's closing so well.
Yeah, that's spectacular. Closing rate. I mean, I'm not sure what the industry standard is, but I would imagine it's in the maybe 10 to 20% range if it's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. So now our whole goal, what her and I are working together on, is finding the traffic. Like, let's get the right traffic because whoever is there is converting. So now let's get more people there to convert.
So that's a question. Or it's brought up a question in my mind, which is, how do you get the message for something like that out? I mean, the tele-summit, you've got that leverage because of the audience of all of the guests. But in terms of the webinar there, you have your new list, but how do you get that message out to those that are not on the list? How do you get above all the noise that, I mean, taking a diet from Facebook at the moment because I feel it's just become so noisy that everything I see there is of no interest to me at all. So how does one get their message out above all that noise?
Well, it is, you know, there's two ways. One, I really like to take the list that you have and really make sure that they always get the quality and everything. But of course, you can't keep sending the same webinar to the same list. or put the same Broadway show out to the same list. We have found certain ways, depending on your list size, like if you have a list size, say, of 10,000, you know, you can do certain things where it's not, you know, and you sort of send it to people who haven't opened, and you have different systems and all that, and different tricks, different solutions. But there's social media. There's, you know, I love Facebook ads. I really, really do. I think that they're, you know, they're not to be ignored. Things change all the time, which is why I'm always studying to see what's, you know, what's happening, what's the latest. I don't love Facebook, like, as a, you know, like, I go there, I see some friends, and I do Facebook ads. I find it hard for me to do Facebook Lives and stuff like that. But I have some clients that's what I encourage them to do. Go on Facebook, do a Facebook Live, share, talk about what you know, talk about your event. Sometimes, you know, I had one client who's a love coach who had done a Facebook Live on an ex, like, just say, like, you know, what to do if your ex calls. And normally she gets, I don't know, 200, 300. That one ended up giving her, like, you know, 15,000 views. Oh, wow. You know, sometimes you hit something that is, you know, like, wow. So, like, hey, you're getting a lot of views from this. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put that on. We're going to put it on YouTube. We're going to share this one. We're going to make sure we know which keywords are really, you know, resonating with everybody. So let's put this out with a link to your site and a strategy call, and let's see what comes out of that. Because that's just too hot to ignore. So it's also checking what's working, not working, and taking advantage of that. Hey, let's put your webinar link on that. You know, everyone's looking at that video anyway.
Yeah, that's
so it's
right.
Just sort of, you know, finding different ways, finding what's working for your audience. And, you know, like, oh, that's working. Okay, let's rinse and repeat. Because so I don't think it's the same thing for everybody, by the way.
Well, it comes back to the ideal audience in a lot of ways, doesn't it? So where are they likely to hang out? Are they likely to be on Facebook? Because if they're not likely to be on Facebook, if they're more likely to be on LinkedIn, then running Facebook ads might not be a good investment.
Exactly. I have some clients who are career coaches. Like, for them, it's LinkedIn. It's just, you know, I even have a love coach client where it's LinkedIn. All her high value clients she got from LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, I could imagine if she's, if her ideal client are professionals that want sort of personal relationship help, and there might be a lot of them that you know, they want that. They're into serious relationships, but so they're professionals that probably spend more time working than trying to find a partner. So maybe they need that help.
Exactly.
And they're in LinkedIn more than somewhere else.
Yeah. And I mean, like, those, the ones that she's gotten from, that she's received from LinkedIn, are ready to pay for quality coaching. So I'm not saying that someone on Facebook isn't. I'm just saying in this case, that's where she has found her success. That's where her ideal audience is.
All right. Now, I know, and I did want to chat to you a little bit about the technology here, but I'll do that afterwards. So, but I did want to explore your e-course a little bit and how that fits into your marketing programs and how that might be an option for following up telesummits.
Yes. I'm, as a matter of fact, I'm putting together sort of like two separate e-courses for people who want to do telesummits. And, you know, I put together different courses because I love to do that. I just love to, you know, share what I deem quality content and see how it can change people's lives. And right now I'm working on some fun telesummit stuff because people, you know, they need to know a little more because it seems bigger than them. And I break it down into some great chunks so that it's easy to digest and understand.
Yeah. You've looking through your training platform, you've got a mix of free, well, there's one free course. There's a lot of free information, but there's one free course around building an e-course, and then it goes on where there's a much more comprehensive course which you pay for, you buy.
Yeah.
So is that the model you're looking at for TELUS Summits, and how, well, I guess my question is, how does that model work?
Just so that I'm clear on what your question is, sorry, like, are you talking about a course in particular or the platform I'm using, just so I...
About the course. So you've got the e-course creation blueprint, I think, is the free course. And then there's a follow-up course, which is an e-course launch. And I was just wondering, is there a strategy? Is that a particular strategy that you have, kind of a light version of the course to introduce people to the idea and tell them why
exactly.
It's a good idea and tell them all the things that are involved? And then if they want to take it further... and in the case of the TELUS Summit, I can imagine if they want to take it further, they've got the option to do it themselves by buying the comprehensive course, which is a how-to guide for every step, or they say, well, this is something I need help with, and then they engage you to do it for them.
Exactly. It is like sort of a teaser where they get to see all the, how something is possible. And then if they are interested, then they can definitely upgrade.
Yeah. And I imagine it's also a good way to qualify your prospective clients as well.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's very, how do I say this? It's very important to be able to really focus on who the ideal person is on the other end. Like, it's just... You know, even if I sold 100 of them, well, if you're going to be a one-time buyer, that's great for the moment. But I want to be able to nurture the relationship and grow the relationship. And again, it always comes back to relationship building. And you know, even, you know, you need relationships with your clients. You need relationships with experts. You just need great, healthy relationships with people who are on your list. I clean up my list on a regular basis myself, because if someone hasn't opened an email in months and months, there's really no reason for us to, you know, remove them.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's a whole nother topic. I could talk about that for ages.
Yeah, really.
I do it regularly as well. So, you know, we've talked a lot about list size and so on, and occasionally I get people saying, oh, I've got this huge list, you know, and it's like a bit of a boast. And I say, well, that's great for you. And it's also who's your email service provider, because it's great for them because you're paying them a lot more than probably you need to. Because if only 10% of that list is engaged, then 90% are just numbers that are benefiting the email service provider because you're paying a higher rate.
Totally. I love that you said that. That's so true.
Yeah.
Some even charge you for unsubscribers. So, I mean, like, if you're not cleaning your list, you're paying.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, this has been fascinating, Robin. I could go on talking ages about webinars as well as TELUS Summits and your approach to building the training programs, but I think it's time we moved on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions, and hopefully you'll give us some insightful answers that'll inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today.
Awesome. I will do my best.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
You know, just be open-minded, you know, let your creativity come out and just let it flow. That's my advice.
Hmm. Yeah, being open-minded.
Don't be afraid.
It's really important. Often people sort of form an opinion early on, and I think that stifles creativity.
Oh, it does. I think it does anyways. I imagine just like really opening your heart to something, just opening with no preconceived and just let it flow. It's just, I'll give you a quick example. I can't draw a stick man to save my life. And yet I'm really great at certain kinds of, you know, paintings. You know, not stick man paintings, but I can paint something really nice. So why? Because I was open-minded enough to give it a shot.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great example. I'll have to paint some because stick men are kind of about the limit of my artistic painting ability. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Oh, you know, other than reading, I study a lot. I just, you know, I study and I do some meditation. And, you know, it's just, and I try and I fail and I try again and I fail and I try again. That's just been my, you know, and again, it comes down to my original response to open-mindedness, like when I'm failing at something, not to let it get the best of me and to try. And sometimes it's just a little switch and like, oh, this works.
Yeah.
This is how to do it.
Yeah. I like the try and fail. So don't be afraid of failure, as you called it. In the last interview I did with Steve August, that would be the last episode published by now, he, you know, we had this conversation around running experiments and trying and learning, and I had this quote, and I can't remember who said this, but it was basically that you either win or you learn. So And as my business coach says, there's no such thing as failure. It's only feedback.
Yes, I like that.
So do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
Well, for me, you know, when I thought about this question, for me, the it's getting a great coach. That's my favorite resource. It's having a, you know, someone who has what I sort of want, right? Like, you know, who has the experience that I want to help guide me and teach me. That's like my favorite. And it's something that I've done from day one of my online journey since 2013 anyway.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And people often give me all kinds of answers to this question, but I don't think I've had that before. And yet it's probably one of the most valuable resources any business owner can have for themselves.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. All right, now what's the best way to keep a client on track? How do you approach that when you're working with them on the telesummit?
Well, you know, you and I both use a tool called Member Vault. And I have a whole system in Member Vault, and like I have two systems that I use where literally we're in the different stages and like, okay, this is your next step. So it's like systems. I love systems. I just think systems are the greatest, you know, solution to organization. Yeah. And I think systems give you freedom. So, you know, it's just about, for me, I have something in Member Vault where clients have like, these are all the different steps. This is where you're at. This is what I need. You know, and that really helps us a lot. And I find that clients also love having something that they can see and know, you know, because it's such an overwhelming process sometimes for people, that this helps them get some clarity and go, okay, all right, this is what we're going to do. Great.
That's great advice. We touched a little bit on systems in our earlier conversation, but it's a topic I could spend another hour on easily. So important, and I absolutely agree with you that having systems in place is so important in a business. But I hadn't considered using Member Vault before as kind of the guide, if you like, for this is how we're going to do this particular thing. I'll have to have a closer look at that.
And you can ask some questions too. So that's what's fun too with Member Vault.
Yeah. All right. Now, what's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Just keep doing what you're doing. That, you know, like, I think we're all individuals, right? So just keep doing, like, other people are doing summits. I'm just doing the very best I can and showing up every day and just giving my heart and everything I do. Like, that's the best I can really tell you to do. Keep showing up and do your best. And it will matter in the end.
Yeah, that's
the right people will find you.
That's really great advice. Into it. A lot of people actually worry about how can I be different or so on, and then they don't take action. You can differentiate yourself by taking action, because a lot of people don't.
Exactly. Just keep doing it. Show up. Do your best. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Lead with your heart. That doesn't differentiate you, but your heart's different. So in that way, it will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fabulous. Great advice. All right, Robin. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even reach out and say thank you for all that you've shared with us today?
Well, they can find me at thetechnologyqueen.com. thetechnologyqueen.com. That's where my website is, and that's you just hit either schedule. You can click on Let's Talk and send me a message, or schedule a call with me. I'd be happy to speak with you.
Okay, great. We'll put that link in the show notes as well, so people can click straight through. So,
and also my business page on Facebook. Sorry.
On Facebook, okay. All right, we'll include that one as well.
Perfect.
So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field?
For me, being a leader, it's not always a position I think that we all want. Like, sometimes you just have to be, like, I run a team. I have to be able to lead. So I just, be clear with everyone who works with you. Remember, the team stands for together. Everyone achieves more. So to realize that everybody on the team, each person brings together the end result, and just really show people that you care. Like, I try to thank everybody. I try to listen. I think that's like the number one thing, listen. Don't already have the answer if something isn't working out. Just really listen to what they have to say, and just be kind. I remember what it was like when I wasn't the leader, and just be kind and listen.
All right. Yeah, I love that. So it's a lot of servant leadership in there, I think. It's really good.
Okay, and remember, team, like I said, together, team, everyone achieves more. Without them, there's no one to lead.
Exactly. All right. Finally, then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
I would love for you to interview Christine Miskinnis. I think she's amazing. She is a woman who helps inspire other women. She is, she's just full of love, and she's full of passion for what she does and how she changes women's lives. That's who I would choose.
All right. Well, we'll reach out to you and get an introduction to Christine and invite her to a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So thanks for that.
Thank you. I think she'd be awesome.
Look forward to it. And thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today on the InnovaBuzz podcast. I've really enjoyed this. There's a whole lot of stuff that we didn't get to that I thought we might touch on, but maybe we'll have to do another episode sometime in the future talking about systems and talking about how you've structured your member hub as well. But in the meantime, all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And thank you for listening, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed that delightful and engaging conversation with Robin and took something away with you from what she shared. I particularly liked her approach to making sure your list is clean as a way to both reach the right audience and to save cost on your email marketing system. She also gave us a great tip on keeping her clients on track using a training platform. I'd love to know what you took away from Robin's interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Robin Bennett. That is RobynBennett. All lowercase, all one word, two N's, two T's, in Bennett, innovabiz.co/Robin Bennett. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Robin there, as well as links to her website, where you'll have access to the information on her subscriber hub and links to the other resources we spoke about in this conversation. Robin suggested we interview Christine Miskinis of Rock It Out Woman on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Christine, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Robin Bennett. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out and listen in to our Tales of Marketing Transformation show that you'll find at talesofmarketingtransformation.com. Each episode there will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And of course, tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We have more fantastic guests lined up, including Jules Brook of Handle Your Own PR. And then we hit the big magic episode 200, where we've got a very special surprise guest for you. So stay tuned. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.